I'll read the scripture reading in English. Is someone, Kazuo or someone, could read it in Japanese? In Japanese?
Oh, no.
I mean, I can try it too, but... Okay, this is from Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you, day and night, for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.
ネヘミヤ記1章5節から11節までを日本語で読みます。言った、ああ天の神主、大いなる恐るべき神、主を愛し主の命令を守る者に対しては契約を守り慈しみを賜る方、どうぞあなたの耳を傾け、あなたの目を開いてこのしもべの祈りを聞いてください。私は今あなたのしもべイスラエル人のために昼も夜も見舞いに祈り、私たちがあなたに対して犯したイスラエル人の罪を告白しています。まことに私も私の父の家も罪を犯しました。私たちはあなたに対して非常に悪いことをして、あなたのしもべモーセにお命じになった命令も掟も定めも守りませんでした。しかしどうかあなたのしもべモーセにお命じになった言葉を思い起こしてください。あなた方が不信の罪を犯すなら、私はあなた方を諸国民のために散らす。あなたが私に立ち返り、私の命令を守り行うなら、たとえあなた方のうちの散らされた者が天の果てにいても、私はそこから彼らを集め、私の名を住まわせるために私が選んだ場所に彼らを連れてくると。これらの者たちはあなたの偉大な力とその力強い御手を持って、あなたが贖われたあなたのしもべ、あなたの民です。ああ主よ、どうぞこのしもべの祈りと、あなたの名を喜んで敬うあなたのしもべたちの祈りとに耳を傾けてください。どうぞ今日このしもべに幸いを見せ、この人の前に憐れみを受けさせてくださいますように。その時私は王の、検釈官であった。
Good morning again. How are you guys doing? How's your summer so far? That's good, huh? Yesterday was the first day of summer, so hope we have a great summer. Amen. I don't know if you noticed, but today's scripture reading was actually a prayer. So we've been praying a lot today. Amen. And I think prayer, for me personally, is the greatest way I encounter God, for me. I know some people encounter God through worship, some people encounter God through reading the Word, some people encounter God just through learning. Not everyone's the same. But encountering God, prayer must be a crucial part in your life. It must be. With that, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you who are awesome, amazing, wonderful, kind, generous, and loving, you who bring us together, you who gather us, Lord, here to worship you, We thank you so much for your blessing. We thank you, Father, for this building we could come into with AC and just enjoy each other's presence in relative comfort, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done. And we just want to continue to worship you, to bless your name. Holy Spirit, teach us your ways that we may walk in your truth and walk in all the purposes, blessing, will, and prosperity you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, one of the reasons why we come together here in JCCT is to encounter God. Not that you can't encounter God in your own home or by yourselves, but there's something about bringing the body of believers together and worshiping together. That's always been, throughout God's history, something it seems like God delights in. Seeing people come together to worship Him and encounter Him. Today's scripture reading was from Nehemiah. I don't know if you know a lot about Nehemiah, but he was instrumental in bringing back the temple. And in the Old Testament, the temple represented a place where you can encounter God. He was instrumental in the rebuilding of the temple. To put it another way, he was instrumental in rebuilding the bridge between human beings and God. A bridge between us and Him. And the first thing we notice about this move of rebuilding the bridge is an amazing prayer. I call it the Prayer of Nehemiah. You guys hear of the book, The Prayer of Jabez? Some of you? Became a bestseller, I believe, in the Christian circles at least, about 12 years ago now. Very popular. I haven't written a book yet. And I don't think the Prayer of Nehemiah will catch on quite like the Prayer of Jabez. But nonetheless, I think it's an awesome prayer. Amen. Amen. And I want to take a look at Nehemiah's prayer. And as we look at Nehemiah's prayers, there's four keys that I notice about the prayers. Four essential keys which I believe if we incorporate in our own lives, we will see greater, I don't want to say results in prayer, but I believe we'll see just a greater growth in prayer, greater maturity in prayer. Now the first part, the first key we see in Nehemiah 1:5, the first part of the prayer, the prayer starts with, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let me just say, a great way to start our prayers is through worship. Amen. And not just singing worship, but worshiping God. There's one of my favorite songs. It says, we enter His gates and His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. That is a key to entering into God's presence is through praise and worship, thanksgiving and praise. Now, we all, I don't think any of us would disagree with that. But honestly, in my own prayer life, that was missing. You know, whenever I used to pray, it used to be, Dear God, and then I get into what I want to ask God for. Dear Lord, or Jesus, can you help me with something, something so and so? Is that a familiar prayer? Just maybe even Heavenly Father, and then we start praying. And I think that usually happens because as Christians, one of our greatest emphasis is a relationship with God, right? Over and above, say something like self-reliance, self-discipline, individual striving to gain God's approval, we emphasize that God wants a relationship with us, and prayer is the relational aspects of communicating with God and talking with God. And so when we think of that, and I think as an American, even though I'm Japanese, but I don't, anyways, as a confused man, when I talk with somebody, say I talk with Phil, I don't say, "Phil, Dr. Phil, you who translates a great novelist and a professor at the U of A," and I don't praise him like that when I talk to Phil. I say, "Hey, Phil, how you doing?" kind of thing.
There's always next time.
There's always next time, okay. Yeah, I could always change my ways and repent. But when I talk to people, it's not like I do that with them. If I do, it's like, "What do you want? You know, why are you kissing my butt? What do you want?" You know? And so when I approach God, and I think of God as relational, and I think of God as conversational, and I think of God as my friend, and my God, my Lord, my Savior, and my Daddy, my Abba, my Papa, that was missing when I prayed. I didn't say, "Dear Heavenly Father, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who keep the covenant of love, or you who are awesome." I just didn't learn to pray like that. I didn't hear anyone pray like that. And I didn't think it was important to pray like that. Now, I'm not saying you have to pray like this, but as I read, as I read the Bible, and actually it wasn't Nehemiah that showed me this, and it wasn't even Jesus who showed me this, in terms of when Jesus, do you guys remember when the disciples asked Jesus, "How do we pray?" And then what did Jesus say? "You pray like this, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" And so when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, the first thing he said was, "Well, you want to make sure you set apart his name." Right? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That part, I just felt like in my heart, if I just set him apart, that'll be fine. And I think that's okay. But I think Jesus was talking more than just, "Make sure you set my name apart." And the reason, and the way, the moment I started changing the way I prayed is when I saw it in Acts. If you want to go there, it's in Acts 4:24. And I think I saw this during the men's group, actually. For those of you who don't know, we have a men's group. We meet every Thursday. And actually, Bob, you're the only one here that might not know, but this week's men's group, we're going to meet on Wednesday at El Guerrero Canelo to have dinner with Martin. Because for those of you who might not know, Martin is leaving us. He is, in a political term, a lame duck. No, just kidding, Martin. So you could do whatever you want to him today, and there won't be any ramifications.
I can argue with you.
Okay. But no. But, you know, we are going to miss you. But it was during our men's group. And our men's group, you know, it consists, for those of the men who are here, it's Phil comes, it's at Min's house, Wayne comes, Bob comes, and Martin comes. But in the men's group, we're going through the book of Acts, and we're almost done. And it was in Acts chapter 4:24 that I noticed Peter praying. Let me read that. It says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God." Now, this is John and Peter. And if anyone in this life were friends with Jesus, it was John and Peter. I mean, they probably were the closest friend Jesus had, in a humanly speaking term. No one was closer to to Jesus than perhaps John and Peter. So if anyone could say, Jesus is my friend, it would be John and Peter. But when they prayed, and so, you know, if you have a... relationally, John and Peter, best friends with Jesus, you would think their prayer would be pretty casual. Hey Lord. Hey homeboy, hey buddy, kind of thing. If anybody could call Jesus homeboy, it would be John or Peter. You guys don't use that term, alright. If anyone could say, hey, what's up, Jesus, it would be John or Peter. Am I communicating well? Okay, so, but it says here, when John and Peter and the rest of them, they raise their voices to pray, it says, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And they start their prayers with praise. Something that just seems... quote unquote religious. And I noticed that and I said, hey, I never pray like that. How come I don't pray like that? I thought to myself, why don't I ever pray like that? And then I thought, well, I never hear anyone else pray like that. Or I don't know who else prays like that. Well, let me tell you who prays like that. John and Peter prays like that. Just because your neighbor or Pastor so-and-so doesn't pray like that, let me tell you who prays like that. John and Peter prays, Sovereign Lord, you who created the heavens and the earth. Nehemiah prayed, the Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. It's a biblical way to pray. Now, I'm not saying all prayers in the Bible start this way. They don't. But I see enough prayers start this way to think, hey, you know, I'm trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to be biblical. I'm trying to follow Jesus. And when I see Jesus, and even when Jesus teaches on prayer, he tells us to do this. And when I see prayers sometimes in the Bible, I see this stuff. Maybe I should start doing this. Maybe I should start praying like this. And so I started praying like this. And I started praying like this a couple months ago now. Maybe for like 2 or 3 months now. At first, it was very uncomfortable. Especially doing it in front of a crowd. It's like, oh man, I don't... You know, it's kind of weird. It's like, I've never done it. I don't want people thinking like I'm a religious kind of person. It just seems very formal and... I don't know. But I did it. And it was uncomfortable at first, and I kept on doing it. And let me tell you, today when I don't do it, I feel kind of weird. I do. And in fact, when I do it, I don't know why, but I do feel God's presence more than I would if I don't. And so, I feel like this is a key part in entering into God's presence is worship. We know that. But even when we start praying, remember who it is you're praying to. And I believe as we remember and as we worship Him as God the Creator, God the Awesome, God the Powerful, and as we start declaring that and as we start proclaiming that, the problems we had that were so big starts becoming small because we start focusing on God. Almighty God. All-powerful God. God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, actually, if He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, my financial problem starts looking smaller because my God is so much bigger than those things. Begin to worship God before you pray. Begin to recognize Him. Begin to remind your spirit who He is and what He's done, so that when you start praying for what to do, your faith will grow. Spiritually, it is a spiritual exercise. And so, let's try that. I like spiritual exercises. And you guys ready for exercise? You guys just want to hear me speak, or you guys want to do a little spiritual exercise? Oh, exercise. I heard somebody say exercise. All right, so let's do a spiritual exercise. How about we all stand up then? You guys look a little, it's a lazy summer afternoon, so let's stand you guys up, get you guys up. And you don't have to, you can pray what Nehemiah prayed, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant. You can pray what you saw in Acts chapter 4, Sovereign Lord, you who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. Or you can make up your own. But during, and we won't take long, we'll just do 15 seconds. 15 seconds of praising God. Alright, you got, does that make sense? Alright, and I want you to do it out loud. You don't have to shout it, but we're going to do it out loud, okay? Alright, in 5 seconds, 3 seconds, 2, 1, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you who created the heavens and the earth, you who are awesome, amazing, wonderful, you who are mighty and strong, you who are never too late, and you who always provides and gives us grace and mercy, we just worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's 15 seconds. Is that right? Is it okay? You guys could have went longer, huh? You guys just got warmed up. Well, okay, do it at home. All right, let's sit down. Let's sit down. Just giving you a little... at first, it feels weird. For some of you, it was uncomfortable. I get it. It was uncomfortable for me. But Jesus teaches us, hey, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he didn't just say, hallowed be thy name. He meant to do that, actually. To actually set his name apart. I don't expect anyone to come up and when they start praying to do that. I would be encouraged if they did that. But, you know, it's not like, oh, that prayer doesn't count if they don't do that. But it is an amazing part in prayer. Trust me. The next part is we see in Nehemiah's prayer is a confession of sins. He says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Another key component in prayer is after we enter into his gates and his courts with praise and thanksgiving. A key component is confession of sin. And again, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, Jesus talks about the forgiveness of sins. But in James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray to each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I know that Jesus has forgiven us of all of our sins. His blood has washed us. The cross, and we cannot work to get into his good graces. But let me tell you about sin. Let me tell you about sin. It will absolutely destroy you. And Christians can be in sin. That's why James says, confess your sins. And actually, he says, confess your sins and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so he's implying that sins can sometimes prevent God's power from working in your life. In this case, God's healing power to work in your life. Now, actually, the Bible verse that actually convicted me, and this was about when I was about 20. Shoot, that's about 16 years ago now. 16 years ago, wow. Kenji, I know you're looking at me and saying I'm young, but man, I feel old right now. But about 16 years ago, I think I shared this story with you guys. I know I shared this story with you guys, but I could still remember being convicted by this one verse. It's in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us all of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins one to another, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I've been a pastor here for now 2 years now. 2 years. I could probably count the number of times on my hand where someone actually confessed a sin to me while here in JCCT. Very few. I want to tell you the importance of confessing sins. If you know you're in sin, or if you know you've sinned, the hardest part is to admit to it. Actually, the hardest part is to admit to it to somebody else. Absolutely hard. I've experienced it myself. I felt God convicting me of this passage, and I confessed my sin, and before I confessed my sin, I felt like I went through the darkest night. But when I confessed it, it felt like I was in heaven for a moment. A literal weight lifted off my chest. And I was like, oh my gosh. I knew Jesus was for real. But after that, I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus is for real. Like, my faith was out the roof. When it comes to confessing sin, it is difficult. It's not, for Protestants, it's not a popular thing to do. But let me tell you, if you're in sin, or if you've committed a sin, or if you're thinking about committing a sin, I highly encourage you, confess it. It is a key in seeing transformation in your life. It is a key in seeing prayers answered in your life. Because some prayers can go unanswered with sin in your life. Sin can block prayers from being answered. In fact, Nehemiah here, the temple is destroyed, and he begins to confess his sins. He begins to confess his people's sins. He begins to confess his family's sins. He begins to confess just sins, any kind of sin that came to his mind. He just begins to confess it and says, whatever it is, Lord, that's blocking my prayers from being heard or answered, God, I just want to put that out there. And in your own life, if you're not seeing prayers answered the way you feel like, or you feel like, why aren't my prayers being answered? Take a look at your own life. See if there's any sin blocking those prayers. Because they can. And they will. And they have. And for some of you, they are. But I just want to encourage you that if you have sin, confess them. You can confess them to me. I'm not going to share it with anyone. Let's move on. It says, remember the instruction you gave your servants Moses, saying, if you are faithful, I will scatter you among the nations, but if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizons, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. What I want you to get from this part of Nehemiah's prayers is, he entered his courts with praise and thanksgiving. He began to confess his sins. And then he begins to quote scripture to God. He begins to use the word of God and to bring that to God. And knowing God's words and praying it is another key in seeing transformation. Now, I gotta confess, this is one of my weakest part in prayer. I don't actually quote scripture and say, God, said this in your word. I do it sometimes, but it's not something that I practice normally. I know some of you do. I know Wayne, you do that a lot when you do the offering prayers. Kazuo, I feel like you do that a lot. But for me personally, a place I need to grow in. And I encourage you, it's a place we should all grow in. God, you said this in your word.
But before you jump into that, you know, I think we like to jump into God. You said this in your word. Before you jump into that, make sure you praise Him, worship Him, confess your sin, and then begin to claim the promises God has for you. Especially if He has spoken to you regarding a certain passage. Especially if He has spoken to you regarding a certain passage. And the last one, and I'll close with this one, is give your servant success today by granting him favor. Nehemiah closes with his prayer with an actual request: grant me favor, Lord. After entering in, confessing and claiming God's promises, it's so important not to forget to ask for what you actually want. It's okay to do that. To pray for what you're seeking for. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, praying and not asking for what you want, it's kind of like running in a race and stopping before you finish the race. Stopping before you cross the finish line. I've heard it's helpful for specific prayers. And it's been exciting to see prayers answered in my own life. Should I boast about prayers? No, I won't boast. I'll boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has encouraged me. He's encouraged me as I've been praying for you, and I pray for you regularly by name. And it's encouraging to see praise reports that coincide with what I've been praying for. Now, I'm not saying it's because I've been praying for you. But it is encouraging to see those kinds of things happen. And I just want to encourage you, as you learn to encounter God, as you learn to encounter God through prayer, seeing prayers answered is just, it's special. I don't know how else to say it. It's encouraging. It's kind of, you know, us men, we like notches on our belts. It's like a notch on your belt. It's like, it's kind of like trophies or something like that. I don't know if you like trophies. But as you've pray is as you encounter God, learn to encounter God. I want you to remember to begin to pray. Ask, seek, and knock. Whatever it is, even if it seems half-hearted, selfish, pray it, and then let God say, hey, that's selfish. Don't pray that. Let Him tell you that. Because, you know, sometimes it's His will. Begin to pray it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I just thank You so much that You are a God who cannot lie and that You keep all of Your promises. Lord, that You are slow to anger and quick to forgive. We just come before You, Lord, and humble ourselves and ask that You would forgive us of our negligence, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if we've become too worldly, Lord, in how we relate to You, Father. We want to relate to You how this book teaches us how to, how this book tells us how to, how those who have gone before us has prayed. And Lord, we do ask that You would show us Your favor, Father. We ask that JCCT, Lord, You would bless us with Your hand of favor upon us. We thank You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.